You know what sort of times we live in, and so you should live properly. It's time to wake up. You know that the day when we will be saved is nearer now than when we first put our faith in the Lord. Night is almost over, and day will soon appear.
It's time to wake up.
We must stop behaving as people do in the dark and be ready to live in the light.
It's time to wake up.
So behave properly as people do in the day. Don't go to wild parties or get drunk or be vulgar or indecent. Don't quarrel or be jealous.
It's time to wake up.
Let the Lord Jesus be as near to you as the clothes you wear. Then you won't try to satisfy your selfish desires. That's Romans 13:11-14.
Well, we're thinking today about waiting for the Lord to come. And I'm feeling excited, also a little bit jumpy, checking my watch and being ready and eager for, well, let's imagine an important delivery is coming. I don't know when exactly it'll arrive. Could be any moment. Anticipation and also readiness, being up for it. I don't know if you've ever had that thing where you set off on a holiday and you're travelling to your destination, but you don't really know how long it's going to take, how long the journey will be, because, of course, there's traffic and hold-ups of various kinds. Maybe you've had that thing where perhaps there are children in the back seat or passengers saying, "Are we nearly there yet?" You've probably heard that phrase, haven't you? When our children were young, we used to sort of indicate across the front of the car roof, you know, this is where we started, that's where we're going to, and we've got that far along. And they used to find that quite helpful, actually, just to see it visually. But there are some journeys, aren't there, where actually you're not entirely sure how long it's going to take. And maybe if you don't know the route particularly well, all of a sudden you've arrived and it's happened and it takes you by surprise. What did Jesus say about the future to his disciples? Well, Jesus tells us in the Gospels what will happen in the future, tells us what it will be like when he returns. And we all like to know when things will happen. And those who were listening to Jesus were no exception. It's just like waiting for a delivery. They were really excited. They were anticipating. They were looking forward to it, to that delivery arriving. They didn't... Oh, thank you very much. There you go. Wonder what it says. Is this my delivery here? Thank you very much indeed, Leon, for delivering. Dear Rector Ian, I expect you're really excited about your delivery. Love, Helen Suarez. Oh. Thank you very much. That's not, though, the delivery, is it? That's just a letter telling me it's coming. Lovely. Thank you very much. So I'm still waiting, aren't I? It hasn't changed the fact that I'm still excited and holding on for it. But life goes on, doesn't it, as I wait. So I'll just carry on. That reading that we just read there from St. Paul. St. Paul was talking about the present day, how we carry on with our lives. His letter was written to the church in Rome. In other words, not to a building, bricks and mortar and so on, but to the Christian believers like us, gathered together, probably in one another's homes in the front room, studying the scriptures, praying together, and waiting for the Lord. By this time, of course, Jesus had gone. He wasn't with them anymore. He'd gone back to heaven. And the people who'd followed him and who believed in him were learning how to live without him being beside them, physically present with them. They knew they had the Holy Spirit with them to give them power, and they also were receiving guidance in the letters they had from St. Paul and from the other apostles. And Paul was concerned that these Christians would grow in their faith, that they should live from day to day as Jesus had taught them. They called it living in the light. I don't know if you can see that phrase up there. Not in the way that non-Christians live. Non-Christians were living in the dark, as they put it. And the New Testament, of course, has many letters written to churches and individuals, guiding us, helping followers of Jesus to live in that way, as Jesus lived. Oh, I think I've got another message. If it's happening today, they'd probably be using mobile phones, wouldn't they? Here we go. I've got a delivery here. Oh, it says, I bet you can't wait for your delivery. Oh, again, that's no great help, is it? Perhaps gets me anticipating and excited, but that's not actually my delivery itself. And I'm finding it difficult to wait, even with emails coming in and WhatsApp messages and whatever. The anticipation of this great delivery is still there, isn't it? How do we live then in the present and in the future? Well, the Bible's clear, isn't it, that one day Jesus will return. One day he will sort out all the problems of our world. When we've gone round with the who cares cards and we've been asking people, we were asking them yesterday actually, what is it that hurts you the most? What is it you're most concerned about in our world? What is it perhaps that drives you up the wall? Or what is it that makes you frustrated? What is it you find difficult to cope with? And people were giving all kinds of different answers. But one day, Jesus will come and make everything good and sort out the problems of our world. Not the politicians, Jesus will do it for real. And he promised that himself, that he would return. And if you think back to the Gospels, all the things that he said would happen, they all came true. So, of course, we can believe him when he promises his return. There are some Christians who think, oh, it's going to be a long way off. It's been thousands of years already. It'll probably be thousands of years in the future. And so they would say, don't worry too much about the way we live and the way we behave. We can always say sorry later and put it off to a later time. In the early church, some people even said, I'll wait till I'm on my deathbed and then I'll convert to the Lord and be forgiven and have eternal life and so on. That's not a good way to live, though. First of all, Jesus might come back at any time. And secondly, there's real blessing and benefit to be living with him in his community and having joined the kingdom of God. There are other Christians who believe that waiting for Jesus' return, is really the one only important thing to know. And so they don't worry about this world here and making a mess of this world and so on and what happens in this world. They say, well, it'll all be put right with Jesus, so we needn't worry now. But we should live in the way that Jesus calls us. And both Jesus and Paul are very clear that we should live the right way now. Again, we don't know when Jesus will come back. It could be any day. Oh, thank you very much. Is that any help? That's not my actual delivery, is it? I bet you're ready and prepared for it. Well, yes, I am ready for my delivery. At least it isn't spam or junk mail or something like that. You probably get pestered with that from day to day, don't you? I am ready, though. And I've warned those around me, those I know, that it's coming, including all of us here in the church. I've been telling people how wonderful that it will be, and I can't wait for it to be delivered. And I'm also waiting in readiness for it. prepared but getting on with things while I wait. And that's the theme for Advent, isn't it? Waiting for the Lord, waiting for his coming. Whether it be the first coming at Christmas time, or as we've been talking now, his second coming at the end of time. Helen was telling us beforehand, she's reading a book for Advent. The meaning is in the waiting by Paula Gooder. I don't know, maybe you've got a book that you're reading through in Advent time, perhaps meditations or something to help us to understand about Jesus and about his coming and his arrival. It's good practice, isn't it, in Advent as well as in Lent, just to read something that helps us to grasp the depths of our faith. Or maybe you can connect with an app or some sort of email that will help you to pray through Advent and to think about the future. Jane and I are great fans of Martin Lewis, the money-saving expert. He's been actually saying that all this buying and purchasing and giving of gifts and so on at Christmas has gone over the top, really, because people are often putting themselves in debt and giving their families misery because of the sheer amount of stuff they're buying and spending at Christmas time. And he said, and a lot of people have said actually it's a really helpful thing for him to say, that yes, we should give presents to our very nearest and dearest, perhaps your spouse, young children in the family, those who are really close to you. But the whole thing of tit-for-tat giving to a long list of colleagues and neighbours and friends and so on, if we're not careful, it puts us into debt. And it means that people are giving tit-for-tat presents one to another that, to be honest, often we don't need and often don't want. So Martin Lewis is campaigning, if you like, for the true spirit of Christmas, of the gifts that really matter and that mean something, and not to go over the top with the consumerism of it all. And of course, Advent is a season of waiting, not a season of having it now, as often the adverts used to say, but a season of waiting and longing for the Lord, and sharing with one another what our faith means. Maybe some of you right now are waiting for something. Maybe it's something in your family life or in your personal life. Waiting for something that's going to happen. You might know very clearly how long the wait will be. Maybe it's a birthday. Maybe it's a wedding on a given date. Maybe it's Christmas itself. We know the date of that, don't we? Or you may not know exactly when something's going to happen, but you're expecting it soon. A birth, a proposal of marriage, a house moving day or something like that. Or perhaps you have no idea when it's going to happen, how long you have to wait, if you're waiting for an operation. Who knows how long it could be? Or waiting for a change of job. It could come up at any moment or any time. Let's just turn to one another, and perhaps in small groups of twos and threes, let's share if there is something that you're waiting for and whether you actually know when it will be or not. And then just take the chance to pray for one another about that waiting and what we're waiting for. So let's just buzz for a couple of minutes now about things that we individually are waiting for together.
This seems to have spurred a lot of conversation. I feel rude to interrupt, but is everything sorted? I was thinking of a response. I could reiterate everything Ian said because I've just lived it when I went to Disneyland. 5 minutes down the road onto the A12, my seven-year-old granddaughter said, "Are we nearly there yet?" And I'm thinking, oh, no, not the whole journey, please. But there's so much what Ian said that we can see in our own lives. And I thought, I saw the next song that's coming up, and I actually thought, instead of me giving a response, we can give a response. And I ask Mark and the band if they wouldn't mind singing Jesus, Hope of the Nations.
Well, I'm still waiting for my delivery. Still hasn't come yet. Maybe you are too. And of course, until deliveries arrive, you're unsure exactly when, but you remain excited and expectant. And that, of course, is much like the promised coming of Jesus, isn't it? And we're going to develop that theme through Advent. I'm just going to say a little prayer, if I may. Lord Jesus, we know from the Bible that one day you will return to us. And until you return, we ask that you'll give us strength to live your way, to live in the light. Help us to live always ready for your return. And send us out into the world to tell others about your love. Amen.